Today our scripture reading comes once again from the Gospel of Luke, and it's towards the end of Jesus' ministry when he's preparing to go into Jerusalem, knowing that his death is coming. So this is a little peek into what happens right before Christ's crucifixion and teaches us a little bit more about who Jesus is. Follow along with me, if you will. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up to the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw the glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters for you, for Moses, and for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was in California, I worked for a couple of churches. And during my time with those churches, I worked mostly with youth and young adult. And over the course of a decade, I probably led 12 or 15 missions trips to Mexico. And I have to admit that I didn't lead the missions trips because I particularly liked sleeping in the dirt or because I liked the inevitable food poisoning that would come from eating the tacos or even because I enjoyed the outdoor plumbing oh so much. No, I led these missions trips because of the transformation that I saw in my students year after year, trip after trip. I would take the kids who had every luxury, and we'd go down to the dirt of Mexico. These kids had cell phones, iPods, laptops, annual passes to Disneyland. They had everything that you could ever hope for. And yet it was in the dirt of Mexico that they would find God. My favorite was the kids who were going on the trip for the first time, seeing the transformation that would happen in them. We'd arrive in Mexico, and they couldn't believe the harsh conditions. You can see the baños in the background, all those rocks we got to sleep on. They were shocked that they had to put up with this for a week. And when I told them they had to put up their own tent, most of them threw a fit. And then somewhere around day two or three, something would change. They'd start to let go of all these comforts that they were used to at home, and they'd really get into the experience. And they would discover that they had a purpose, that they could make a difference in this world. And they got excited for how God was moving in their lives. Free from distractions, temptations, the busyness that they lived at home, it was here in Mexico that they would find God. That they'd hear him clearly speaking in their lives, that they would come to know how much God loved them and how gifted and precious they really were. And the kids loved it. In 10 years of trips, I only had one kid that didn't like it and chose not to come back. Every other kid would come back year after year, trip after trip, to experience God in the dirt of Mexico. These trips became such important milestones in their lives, times where they could look back on and know that God was with them. And for them and me, these missions trips were our mountaintop experiences. Maybe you've had something similar. Maybe it wasn't a missions trip, but a time that you felt so close to God that you could reach out and touch him. His comfort at a time of loss, taking a big risk in life and knowing that God was walking by your side, the joy of seeing a miracle right before your very eyes, a mountaintop experience where you drew close to God and God drew close to you. These are the times that we live for. Mountains hold a place of great honor in the Bible. They're often described as times of intimacy and closeness with God, times where heaven reaches out and touches earth, times of deep transformation and intimacy. We think of Moses, who received God's perfect law, the Ten Commandments, on the top of Mount Sinai. And he was so overwhelmed with God's presence that his face began to glow, and he had to veil it so he wouldn't scare the Israelites. Or Elijah, defeating the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and hearing God's still, silent voice on Mount Horeb. Mountains play such an important role. And today we see just how great a mountaintop experience can be. In our scripture this morning, we find Jesus and the disciples on a different mountaintop. And it's one of those moments when heaven and earth overlap and we can clearly see God at work. Here Jesus and his three closest disciples, his three closest friends, go up to a mountaintop to pray. The disciples fall asleep, but we discover Jesus knelt in prayer. And as Christ was praying, we read that his face was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white like lightning. Suddenly, two men from old appear by his side, Moses and Elijah. Moses to represent God's perfect law. Elijah to remind us of the tradition of the prophets who have been telling of the coming of God's Son for generations. And they talk about Jesus' death, the long road of suffering that he is to walk in just a few short weeks. All of a sudden, Peter and the other disciples wake up, and the Bible says they're a little sleepy. But when they come to, they see this glorious sight before them. They literally saw Jesus' glory. And for the first time, they finally understand who Jesus is. Up until this time, Jesus has been their friend, a great teacher, a healer, somebody they respect and look up to. But it's in this moment that they realize that Jesus is God's own Son, the Messiah that they have been waiting for so long. It's in that moment that their lives were transformed. They were never the same again. This truly was a mountaintop experience for Peter and the other disciples. In this season of Epiphany, the few short weeks we have between Christmas and the beginning of Lent, we've been reading stories, revealing Jesus to us, learning surprising things about him, coming to know his purpose here on earth. We read of the Magi traveling from afar to pay homage to the Christ child. We saw Jesus' baptism where a dove descended from heaven, and we hear God's voice from the sky, "This is my Son whom I love." We heard Christ's inaugural address in Nazareth, and we saw the crowds turn away from him when they realized that Christ hadn't come to save them and them alone. But today is the greatest epiphany of them all, a full unveiling of Christ's glory. There's no more wondering who Jesus is or what he's doing here on earth. God clears this up once and for all with a booming voice from heaven. "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Peter is so overwhelmed in this moment, and he wants to stay in this glorious spot forever. So he blurts out, "Master, it's wonderful for us to be here." And he offers to build 3 shelters for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah so that they can stay a while longer. He wants to cling to this mountaintop experience and hold on to that closeness and clarity that he has of God and Jesus in that time. But Jesus will have none of that. There's no staying on the mountaintop in life, is there? And we read that the very next day, Jesus and the disciples head back down the mountain and re-enter the craziness of life that they had left. And immediately after this, Jesus encounters a sick boy, a boy possessed by demons, a scared father. And he meets this time of need with great love. I can't really blame Peter for wanting to stay in this time of intimacy with God. My students never wanted to go back home at the end of the week when we'd be in Mexico. I always wanted to go home, but my students always wanted to stay. They had encountered something amazing, and they wanted to cling to it for as long as they could, to grab hold of God and never let him go. The very place where we stayed took on special meaning to us. It was the place we encountered God, and it holds a place in our hearts. But from our text today, in the story of Jesus leaving the mountaintop, going back into the world, we learn that these experiences can't last forever. Yes, we encounter God on the mountaintop, but real life is lived in the long plains and the deep valleys. We desire to hold on to these moments, these respites from everyday life, the time and place where heaven and earth overlap. And yet we can't. Life isn't lived up here, but it's lived in the humdrum of everyday life. The reality that you and I face each morning as we wake up. But here's the good news. God is with us, even here. God isn't with us just in the extraordinary, but in the ordinary as well. Haven't we seen this in Jesus' life? That he was with people in the everyday, ordinary things that they went through. Loved ones becoming sick, death, loss, sin, exclusion. Jesus walked with these people and was with them there. The good news is we don't have to wait for a mountaintop to encounter God, that we can find him right here and right now. Think how present Jesus was with those he encountered. Talking with his disciples, healing the sick, eating with the sinners, comforting the poor. He wasn't some distant, far-off God, some king that lorded over his people, but he walked among us, showing his love in such tangible ways. Jesus came to earth to know his people, to know us, and so that we could be saved. We don't have to wait for a mountaintop experience to know Jesus. All we have to do is follow God's command. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. There are many ways for us to listen to God. We have the Bible. We have God's people, the church. We have prayer. We have the act of suffering and service. But I don't think many of us feel confident in our ability to go to God and to have that connection with him, the kind of intimacy and strength that we would desire. And that's going to be our focus during the upcoming time of Lent, learning how to grow deeper in our faith with God, in our connection with one another. Learning what it means to have God in our everyday lives, to see him not just on the mountaintops, but in the valleys and plains as well. So each of the 6 weeks of Lent, we're going to be talking about a different way for us to grow closer to God. Different disciplines, if you will. Prayer, scripture reading, service, solitude. And we're going to try them on. We're going to have homework each week, times where we can practice these disciplines and see which things help us grow close to God. Some are going to feel natural and comfortable. Some will be new and unfamiliar. And each of us will hear God speak in a different way. And my hope is that through this time of intentionally seeking God, that we'll come out of it with something that works for us, that helps us experience God just as tangibly and as real every day that we do when we're on the mountaintop. So this week, I have a little bit of homework for you. I want you to think about when you have felt closest to God. What draws your heart into God's presence? How do you grow in faith and connect with Him? And then what gets in the way? What keeps you from God? What makes it difficult for you? What challenges might you face during Lent as we're seeking Him together? And are you willing to do it? Jesus tells us that if we seek Him, we will find Him. That life-sustaining, encouraging, intimate, joyful relationship with God is possible. But we need to make the decision to seek Him. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to grow deeper in our faith together? The good news for us today is that we don't have to wait for the mountaintop to know God. That He is here with us right here, right now, in the everydayness of life. And a deeper, more meaningful relationship with Him is possible. I'd like to invite you to join me in going deeper in faith and committing ourselves to growing closer to God this Lenten season. Won't you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank You that Your glory has been revealed to us. God, that we have seen Your face, that we know Your love. We have felt Your presence in our lives. God, but we want more of You. We want to hear You speak to us. God, to know Your will for us, to be encouraged, to be comforted, to be inspired by You. Help us to seek You this week. This Lent, help us to draw ever closer to Your name. Amen. Today we have the joy of coming before God's table, of remembering just how much God loves us, that He has sent His Son to die for us so that we might live. At this table, we remember our shortcomings. We remember the things that we have done that have brought God to us. And we know that even though Christ has died, that God's Spirit lives within us today, encouraging us, strengthening us, giving us hope for tomorrow. God, we ask that You would be present today. God, that through the gifts of this table, we would know Your love and draw ever nearer to You. Amen.